at the top of Chof Ches Amid Aleph, the second line, Amar Mar. Yesterday we saw two competing brisos on the issue of Para Aduma. If you did the Hazah Shalob Mechuvan, it wasn't directed towards the Pesach Ol Moed, and we ended up resolving it either as a machlokas between the brisos, or alternatively, we said they agree. It just depends on how far off you are. Are you in the right general direction, east-west, or are you facing north-south? Now we bring a third brisa, which doesn't deal with the Paraduma issue, rather it deals with the Chatas, with the Asham of the Mitzora. We have the Chatas Pinim, right? And the hazalas that you do with the mitzvara, and we discuss there shalom lishma as well as shalom b'mechuvan. Shalom b'mechuvan is not relevant for our discussion. Our discussion is shalom lishma. Both brisos that we brought yesterday said that if you do the hazalas of the chatas pnim and of the mitzvara shalom lishma, it's possible. And now we get a new brisa with a different view. Omar Mar, v'shabifnim v'shabim mitzvara shalom lishma psula shalom mechuvanos ksheros. We're now three lines down on Chav Chesem at Aleph. We said if you do the mitzvara's hazos shalom lishma, it's possible, shalom mechuvan is kosher, v'atanya. But I have this third brisa which says, bein shalom lishma, bein shalom mechuvanos ksheros. It's going to be kosher either way. And again, this is specific to mitzvara we're dealing with. We're not dealing with chatas pinim and all that. So the Gemara gives an answer. Amar Rabbi Yosef, lo kasha. Rabbi Yosef gives us our first approach, and his answer is that's no problem because ha Rabbi Eliezer v'ha Rabbanan. One brace is Rabbi Eliezer, the other brace is Rabbanan, meaning the post-sale specifically, the one who disqualifies it is Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer demakish asham, lachatas makish nami log lo asham. The way Rabbi Eliezer does it is he says, look, chatas we know is possible if it's shalom lishma. The asham is learned by hekesh from the chatas. And then, once you mention the asham, while the log shemen of the mitzvah, which comes along with it, is learned from the asham itself. So therefore, four, he says, Chatos has to be Lishma, Asham has to be Lishma, Log Shemin Shal Mitzvah has to be done Lishma as well, everything has to be done Lishma. That's Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore he says that if you did a Shalom Lishma, it's possible. Whereas Rabbanan Lomakshi and the Rabbanan don't make such a hekish. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Didn't you learn Ezu Mekoman? Oh, Rabbi Eliezer, Bechidavar Alami Behekish Chazur Malamid Behekish, don't you know we don't do a double hekish like that? Elo, Amar Rabba, rather Rabba says, Hava Ha Rabba. The truth of the matter is, both are the views of the Rabbanan. It's not Rabbi Eliezer versus the Rabbanan. Then why is it that one brice is kosher, one brice is basal? It depends on what you're doing with it. Kan lahachshir, kan lahartzos. There is a difference, like we said way back in the beginning of Sbachim, sometimes a karban is eligible for certain purposes and not for others if it's done shalom lishma, and that's what we're going to say here as well. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi has the nusach leratzos, but it's the same idea. Lahazos la'alos l'shem chova ulahadir mitzara bekahal pasul shalom lishman. In terms of actually taking care of the mitzara's halachic needs, such that he now is done with being a mechusar kapara and all that, for that purpose it doesn't work. That's what we meant when we said pasul. However, v'adatani ksheros, when we said it's kasher, Rashi says lahachshir dehazaos of ksheros lahachshir shiare halog ba'achila. He says kasher was as far as being able to eat the remnants of the log, the shiare log mitzvah, now chalim, because you are allowed to use the rest of the mitzvah's oil. So from that perspective, I'll say, yeah, the fact that he did your hazah shalom lishma doesn't ruin the rest of the oil. That's the idea. So there's no machlokas between the braces. Okay.
I want to say the log of the ashav mitzvah is part of the ashav process. It's like one hekesh really. Normally,
yeah. I thought also maybe you could get away with that. I thought maybe you could get away with that also. But Rashi says Rashi brings you the hekesh from the asham mitzvara to the log, where it's an explicit limud. The keves asham letenufa, the log shemen. The fact that they mention them in the pasuk teaches me from one to the other. In other words, we really view them as separate entities, requiring a limud from the pasuk. You can't just do it straight and say, well, they're all rolled up in a ball. We're not allowed to do that.
The log shemen of the mitzvara davka attached to the asham. He brings other korbanot also, or is it?
Yeah, but they are mentioned together in the Torah all the time. You know, we do mention them as being bonded in some sense. So it would have been, I would have been happy with that answer. Had they said, you know what, Chad Hekeshahu, I wouldn't have lost sleep over that. But that's the way they go with it. Okay. New Mishnah. Now we get to the menorah. Okay, we're first going to talk about again a list of, in this case, mitzvah items for which some part is ma'akev the whole, some part is required for the whole, and then we're going to get into what the menorah looked like. Not that we're going to know by the time we're done, but we're going to try. The Mishnah says, Shiva kinei menorah ma'akvin zed zed. The seven branches of the menorah are all required. Shiva nerosah ma'akvin zed zed. You also require the seven lamps. We separate between having the rods themselves and having the lamps. Rashi tells you, Shiva kinei menorah kidechsim b'shishak kanim yotzim mitzidah, six emerging from the sides, v'hamenorah atzma, the menorah itself, shebe'emza, in the middle, he hashvi'is, and he says kazeh, but the kazeh doesn't appear in our Rashi, and instead appears, we're told in the margin, look in the parish of Mishnayos of the Rambam, and look at Daf Tzadiches, and then you can get nice pictures of what the menorah may have looked like. No, but it's not the Rambam's description, it's Rashi's description. The one in Tzadiches Amud Beis, for those who like the discussion about whether the menorah's branches were diagonal or whether they were curved, so the one in Tzadiches Amud Beis has curved branches. The Arch of Titus version of the menorah, as opposed to the Lubavitch version of the menorah. It's not really the Lubavitch version of the menorah, but it's what everybody sees. The Art Scroll has the, yeah, they have the Lubavitch version. The one that's off on the angle. The one in the Old City today is the Arch of Titus version, the one that's curved. Yeah, is the one that they print in ours. It's a nice machlokas. We're not going to get to it today, but it's a nice machlokas. But going back to Rashi, he says you view the middle one as being the menorah itself. Shiva neroseha. And each one of these branches has a lamp, a single lamp at the top, kein bazach, like a spoon. It's a goblet of sorts. Visham knows the Hashem and Rapsilos, where you put the oil in the wick. So you need both of those things, says the Mishnah. Shtei parshios, back in the Mishnah, shtei parshios sheba mezuzah ma'akvodzu etzu, right? Shema and v'hayim shamoa. You require both. Afilu ksavechad ma'akvod, even if you're missing a single letter, it's ma'akev. You require the full thing. Rashi quotes you, Uchsav Tam, it should be Ksiva Tama, it should be written completely, Tama Ushlema. Dalit Parshios should be Tfilin Ma'akvin Zu and Zu, ditto for requiring all four Parshios in the Tfilin, as we'll see in great depth in the Gemara. Afilu Ksav Echad Me'akvin, and again, even if a single letter is missing, it's out. Dalit Tzitzios, Ma'akvos Zu and Zu, Sharbata and Mitzvah Achas, the four corners of the Tzitzis, you require each one because they're all a single mitzvah. However, Rabbi Shmuel Amar Arbat and Arba Mitzvos. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees on Tzitzis and says, no, each one is actually an independent mitzvah, and we'll have to talk about what that means when we hit it in the Gemara. Okay. My time. The Gemara goes back to the menorah, and it asks, why is it that you require that they all be present? Havaya ksiv behu. The Torah says havaya, by which we mean, Rashi says, kaf tarehem uknosam mimeno yihyu. That's my source for requiring that.
Yeah, my famous machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, what's a chayv and what's rishus? Rabbi Shmuel says certain items are rishus. So how does he get 613 mitzvahs? So he adds in, since he throws in that extra three.
Yeah. From here, that's how he gets to 613. So the Gemara says that we have this requirement for the menorah because of Kaftarehem Ukudosami Mena Yehiyu. Now, for the discussion that's coming up, I brought you the key psukim we're going to quote here on your sheet. Four psukim, the three from the original discussion of how to create the menorah back in Sefer Shvos, and then one from the beginning of Baal Oscha. And I bolded the words that we're going to make use of in the psukim. I think that will help. It's not such a complicated Gemara, but it gave me something to do on the page. The Tanur Rabbanan, the Brisa says, the menorah haisa ba min ha'eshes umin hazav. The menorah came from a single lump. You took a single lump and you formed that into the menorah. The Rashi says by hammering, makeh bekurnos. So that's a good way to do it. Umin hazav, and you made it out of gold. Asa mina grutaos psula. If you use grutaos, which are shavings of gold, broken pieces, Rashi says shavur, then it's no good. So it's a real requirement to make it out of a solid piece. Mishar mine matchos. However, if you use other metals, if you don't use gold, kshera, then it's kosher. We don't require gold as a hard and fast requirement. But we do have this requirement of the eshes. So the Gemara asks, "Maishna mina grutaos psula? Why is it that the grutaos are no good? Why is that? Why is that not an option? Dichsiv miksha vahavaya, because the Torah says miksha, and it also says havaya, so it shall be, yehu is the specific word that we use. That tells me so it must be. That's my first approach, miksha and havaya, to which the Gemara says, b'shaymini matchasnami, zav havaya amar kro. We're going to apply yehu to the zav requirement also. No, because the Torah says, te'aseh, it also says te'aseh, miksha te'aseh, in the first pasuk that I quoted on your sheet. Te'aseh, it shall be made, suggests it shall be made in any way. You can use other types of metal.
Miksha, not miksha.
So he says that's to replace zav. He's not using it as miksha te'aseh.
Miksha
must be
zav.
Correct. So which he then says, but wait a minute, Vema l'rabos grutos. Why don't I say that it's to include the grutos? Lo salgadaitof. Da miksha ksiva havaya. He says no, because miksha is associated with havaya, and teyaseh cures zav. To which he says, what do you mean? Teyaseh nami amiksha ksiv. Teyaseh is also for an amiksha. As a matter of fact, they're side by side in the first pasuk. Thus, isa menorah zav tahor miksha teyaseh hamenorah. So I should say, teyaseh teaches me not just miksha, and zav is yehu. Then my gold is the real issue. So the Gemara says, drop that approach. Forget the approach of miksha and havaya and tayas and zav and forget all that. Second approach is miksha la'akev. The Torah says miksha multiple times. In fact, if you look at our psukim, we have miksha four times. But but we mention miksha multiple times here in order to teach me that's a hard and fast requirement. To which the Gemara says, zav nami la'akev. It also says zav multiple times. So he says, all right, fine. Hi, Mai. What do we do with this? I still know that the Zav requirement is not hard and fast. Because, no. We dumped Teyaseh because it can apply to either one.
So we're not marbating here with Teyaseh?
Correct. We're not using Teyaseh. Well, in the end, what we're going to end up doing is utilitarian. Instead of saying, well, it's based on this word in the pasuk, it's going to be based on the fact that I know for sure you can use non-gold. And so, therefore, I can now go back and say, so it must be that teyaseh worked with one and not the other. We're not necessarily rejecting teyaseh as a method. It's just that we couldn't argue definitively that teyaseh should apply to zav and shouldn't apply to miksha. But I'm going to be able to prove what my conclusion should be, and then I can go back and say, so therefore we know it's done this way. That we could end up doing. So the Gemara says, "Hi, Mai. What do we do here? E amrit bishlama min agrutos psula mishar minei matchus kshera. If your conclusion is going to be shavings are no good, pieces are no good, but you can use non-gold, then fine. Hainu zav miksha ledrasha. Then I can say, you know what? We have all these different appearances of zav and all these different appearances of miksha, and I'm going to use them for drashos as the Gemara will do in just a couple of lines. Ela e amrit min agrutos." But if you're going to tell me that the pieces are okay and the non-gold is okay, then zav zav miksha my darshes bay. What are you going to do with all these multiple references to zav and miksha? That's not right. If you tell me that non-gold is not good, then all these drashos are going to fall apart, and I don't know what to do with zav and miksha. To which the Gemara says, "My drasha, what are these drashos you mean?" Disanya, here's the brisa. Kikar zahav tahor yaseh osa eis kol hakelim ha'ele. We link kikar and zahav, and to teach me ba'a zahav ba'a kikar. That if you're using gold, it has to be a kikar of gold. Eina ba'a zahav, eina ba'a kikar. If it's not coming from gold, it doesn't have to be a kikar, which tells me right off the bat it can be non-gold. Otherwise, what's the conversation about? And then we continue. Gviyah kaftorah ufracheha. And the goblet forms, this doesn't mean goblets at the top of each branch. These are ornamental. The goblets, the round shapes, the kaftor is some kind of a round shape. We'll see it in the next page. And the prachim, the flowers. Ba zav ba gvim kaftarim uprachim. Eina ba zav, eina ba gvim kaftarim uprachim. If it's gold, you have to have all these things. If it's not gold, you don't need to. By the juxtaposition of zav and these words. They, parenthetically, they say, vema nami ba zav ba kanim. Eina ba zav, eina ba kanim. In that case, maybe also gold is the only one that requires the branches. But without the gold, if it's not gold, it doesn't have to have branches. To which he answers, then it's Mishnah Menorah. Ha'u pamut mikri. You know what we call that? We call that a tea light. That's the term. Pamut is used for little like tea light type lamps today in Israel. But the point is, Rashi says here, just Menorah Katana. It's a mini candelabra. So he says, that wouldn't work. It wouldn't be a Menorah then. But we continue with our drashos. We link miksha and zahav. Ba'a zahav, ba'a miksha, eina ba'a zahav, eina ba'a miksha. That if it's zahav, it has to be from one piece. If it's not zahav, it doesn't have to be from one piece. So that's another one of the drashos. So we've now adopted multiple uses of the word zahav to teach me different lessons. And we also have one lesson out of miksha. What do we do with the last miksha? Miksha de seifa lamai asa. What do you do with the latter miksha? Meaning Rashi says, ad-yirichav ad-pircha miksha he. The one in Baharsha's Baloscha that I brought you, the fourth pasuk on the sheet. What do I do with that one? So he says, Lama'ute chatzotzos, to teach me that the requirement of miksha is specifically for the menorah and not for the chatzotzos. Disanya, as the Brisa says, chatzotzos, those trumpets that they used, is described in Parshas Baloscha, hayubon mina eshes mina kesef. They came from a lump, they came from silver. However, asa mina grutaos ksherim, you could make them out of pieces of silver. Mishar mina matchus psulim, what you can't do is make it from non-silver. The Tosus has a discussion about whether that's really so, but that's what we're saying right now. It must be from silver. But the point is, you can use grutaos, so miksha, when the Torah says miksha, if you look back at that fourth pasuk, miksha zahav rechav rechav miksha he, this one, the menorah has to be miksha. The chatzotzos, which are later on in the same parsha, do not need to be. Why is that? Why is it that you say it has to be silver, but it doesn't have to be miksha? Because the Torah says for the chatzotzos, kesef, and so they shall be. So he says, Rashi quotes the pasuk, shtei chatzotzos, kesef, miksha taseh, some v'hayu lecha. So menagrutos nami miksha v'havaya. Why didn't I like miksha and v'hayu? Mi'ed rachman agabe menorah miksha hi v'lo chatzotzos. Because that's a lesson from the pasuk by the menorah that specifies that the menorah is miksha. Good. Rashi, by the way, tells you how you know miksha means one lump. He says, "Mashma chaticha achas kedem tagaminan negid mashuch shenimsha hakol mechaticha achas." That's why I take miksha to mean all drawn from a single piece.
So it's not a natural piece.
No. It's not that you find correct. No, it has to, he says, miksha mashma davar hamuka v'nehelam. It's one piece that you make that you then hammer out. That's the idea.
What's the difference with eshet and miksha?
It's not. Eshet is miksha. That's how I understand that. Yeah. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Here we go. Braisa says, Kol ha-kelim sha'asa Moshe ksherim lo u'ksherim ledoros. All of the kelim that Moshe made for the Mishkan were all usable then and for all time, except chatzotzos ksheros lo u'psulos ledoros. Chatzotzos were only for that time, and now you would need new chatzotzos for future generations. How do I know that? Chatzotzos my time. What's the reason? If it's because Hashem introduces the chatzotzos saying, make them for yourself, only for you, not for all time, then elameata, what do you do with other lachas? Hashem says, make an aron for yourself. Does that mean only for Moshe and that future generations would not be able to use it? Ella, rather, the lacha regarding the aron is, maybe to teach me that you have to make it of your own. Moshe, make it of your own property. Hashem is saying to Moshe, I want yours more than I want theirs, that if it were possible to just use yours, I would be very happy to just use yours, Moshe. That's my lacha by the aron. So he says, well, then why not do that for the chatzotzos also? Hainami, the lacha by the chatzotzos, mi bari le lahachi. We should use that lacha for this purpose as well. So he says, yeah, you're right. Well, the way I know it for the chatzotzos is, sha'ani hasim, it's different there. Da'amar kra, lacha, lacha, trezimni. The Torah says lacha twice in that pasuk. Asay lacha, v'hayu lacha, l'mekorai do, l'masa asamachanos. So lacha twice, that's what teaches me that the chatzotzos are only for Moshe's use, and that future doros would need to make their own chatzotzos. So there. Right, so we don't actually know. It's funny. Like, we know about the Tinsanas Haman, and we know about all that. We don't know what they did with Moshe's Chatzotzos, presumably Geniza. But you're right, we don't actually know. We don't have a similar reference that I can recall about this. Okay. New issue. This issue of the menorah and what you may use to make the menorah. Tani Rav Papa Breda Rav Chanin Kameda Rav Yosef. Rav Papa, son of Rav Chanin, we're going to call him Rav Papa for short, says the following lesson in front of Rav Yosef, which Rav Yosef is going to disagree with. Menorah Isa Ba Mina Eshes Min Azav. Number one, you make the menorah one lump of gold. That's if you're looking at your table on the sheet, that's the first column there. He says you make the menorah, where right now the speaker here is going to be it's going to be Lekulei Amma on the gold one, but we're going to get to a machlokes that we'll see. So gold, he says, fine. Asa shel kesef kshera. Kesef also is kosher. Shel batz, which we understand usually to be tin. Vishal avor, lead. That's quite a menorah. Vishal gisteron, or of scrap pieces, right? Gistero, we always talk about when a piece gets broken in half.
Yeah.
The two sides of the gistero. So if you make it out of these, Rebbe posel, Rebbe says that's no good. Rebbe Yossi Rehuda machsher, and Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda says kosher. He says you can use this. Rashi has an old French on gisteron. My old French is a little rusty. I didn't look in the Metargim to see what he did with it, but it really shouldn't be broken pieces here. Do they render gisteron there as broken pieces? The reason I'm bothered is because it's in a context where we're discussing materials, not
metallic alloy.
All right, cheap metallic alloy, very very good. That's old French for cheap metallic alloy is like okay. The French word is metal. Yeah, we're here. We have a lot of francophones. I don't know if they're old francophones. Steinsalz. Okay. So it's a cheap metal. But either way, this cheaper metal, the tin, the lead, the gisteron, Rebbe posel, Rebbe says is no good, and Rebbe Yehuda says kosher. So that's a machlokes in this brisa, and then shall etzem v'shal eitz v'shal etzem v'shal zechuches, to use wood, to use bone, to use glass. Divrei kol psula, everybody says is going to be pasul per Rav Papa. Amar le mai daitach. Rav Yosef says to him, what are you thinking? Why? What's your rationale? Omar Lei, he says, look, Bein Mar u Bein Mar, Klali u Prati Darshi. They're both going with the Klal Prat method, and we're going to distinguish in the Gemara between the Klal Prat method and the Ribui Miut method. So he says, the way I look at it is, Menorah is a Klal, Zahav, gold, is a Prat. So the rule is that whatever I'm going to use has to be similar to gold. And the only question is, how do I define similarity to gold? One view is, gold is a metal, you can use any metal. And therefore you can't use eitz, etzem, and zechuchis, but I could use batz, avar, and gisteron. And that's the position that's going to say kosher. That's the position that's going to say kosher. Umar savar, and the other view is, now, ma pramufurish, davar chashuv, I've called davar chashuv. Zav is something of significance. You can only use something of significance like silver. But batz, avar, and gisteron, that you may not use. That's the idea. So Rebbe is the one who is going to say, within this view, Rebbe is the one who's going to say it has to be metal, therefore I only accept Zav and Kesef, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is going to be the one who says, no, it just has to be something nice. And therefore, Batz, Avar, Gistron, you can make a very nice lead menorah. And therefore, that he'll accept. Sorry?
Rashi's first lashon of the Gistron, he translates as copper in French.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Copper. I'll throw copper in also. So that's the version of it from Rav Papa. Rav Papa's version of what the machlokas of Yosef Yehuda and Rebbe is that it's a machlokas whether zahav means any metal or whether zahav means any nice item. Nafkamina lahalacha would be a cheaper metal, a tin, a lead, a gisteron. That's where we would have the machlokas. But everybody would agree that if it's cheap and non-metal, you can't use it. The response comes back though from Rabbi Yosef. Amar Lei, Rabbi Yosef says to him, Sami didach mekami didi. Erase what you're teaching, and instead take what I'm teaching for what the machlokas is. Disanya, as the Brisa says, klei sharis in general, shasan shel eitz. You make a klei sharis, one of these implements, out of shasan shel eitz. You make them out of wood, and by the way, it's not just wood, but it'll apply to the whole category of etzem and zechuchis as well. We'll see from the flow in the Gemara. Rebbe posel, Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda machshir. Rebbe says no good. Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda says it is good. So the key machlokas between Rav Yosef's version and Rav Papa's version is, may I use eight etzim and zechuchas according to Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda, where Rabbi Yosef introduces the idea that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda will accept wood, bone, and glass. The B'maika Mifligi, what's the Machlokas? Rabbi Darish Klali Uprati, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Darish Ribui Umiute. It's whether you use Klal and Prat or whether you use Ribui and Miute. And this is the way they work. I know you've seen them a million times over, but I want to outline anyway the difference between the two methods because it's important. The way Klal, Prat, Klal works is this. You have a Klal that gives you 100% of all cases. I give you numbers on the sheet. The numbers are not specific. But the Klal is all cases. Prat gives me one example. Let's say that's 10% of all cases. That's one case. And then the repeated Klal says expand a little bit from the Prat, but it has to be similar to the Prat. Don't go all the way back towards 100%. It's only things that are similar to the Prat. Riboy, Miut, Riboy goes in the opposite direction. Riboy, Miut, Riboy starts with 100% and then says, Miut, I am excluding that which isn't entirely like the Prat. Or what we couldn't call the miut. So in other words, here, my prat was gold, right? So klal, prat, klal says, everything, just gold, and I'll expand to things that are similar to gold. Riboy, miut, riboy says, everything, then it reduces things that are dissimilar to gold, which is going to be a narrow band of cases, and then the second riboy will expand to say, no, even if it's just a little like gold, it's going to be fine. So riboy, miut, riboy will allow me to use more cases than klal, prat, klal. Klal, prat, klal will require it be very similar to the prat. Riboy, miut, riboy says it just has to be like the individual case in some way. You'll see it as we apply it. But that's the idea. I was going to put concentric circles on here, but I ran out of time. But we'll see it. We'll see it as we walk through it in the Gemara. Very different concepts and logic, absolutely. I want to walk through that because it's something that not everybody gets, and it's critical to a lot of sugyas in Gemara. So Rabbi Darish Klali Uprati, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Darish Ribui Umeute as follows. Rabbi Darish Klali Uprati, Rabbi does Klal Uprat. V'asisa menoras, that's Klal. The menorah can be of anything. Zahav Tahor, it's got to be pure gold. Prat, okay? Only gold. Miksha teaseh ha-menorah, which now again brings me back into more general terms, anything, chazav ekolo, that's my klal, klal uprat uklal iatadan, you can only deduce elakein ha-prat, something that's similar to the gold, ma-prat mufur shamateches, apkol shamateches, it has to be metal, that's Rebbe, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, darish ribui yomiute, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says no, I do ribui miut, v'asisa menorahs riba, that expands to include any material, zav tower miet, excludes only that which is dissimilar to gold, that which is not similar to gold. Miksha teaseh menorah, chazav riba. And the miksha expands again. So we're excluding that which is not like gold. Right? A band of cases are not like gold, and then we're expanding further. So riba umiyed v'riba, riba hakol, everything is in pretty much. Umay rabi, what are we including? Rabi kol mili, we exclude everything. Yes. Umay miyed, and what did we exclude? Miyed shel cheres. We take out cheres. Cheres is a new category, it's not even on our table, because everything on our table is going to be kosher. It's only cheres that we're going to remove, and Rashi says, why are we removing cheres? Because cheres is entirely unfit. That's as dissimilar as you can get. Rashi says, "Shalcher shupachos mikol hakelim." It's the least of all kelim. Ve'in aroya fil the melech baser v'dam. You wouldn't even use that for a human king. So the Gemara says, "Adarabba." That's true. It is disposable. It's a good point. So the Gemara now comes back, right? Rav Papa says to Rabbi Yosef, "Adarabba, samedidach mekamedidi. Why should I raise mine for yours? Go with mine." Lo sakadaitach. Don't think that. Why? Because I know that they could use non-gold, and I know that they can use not only non-gold, but they could use non-silver. They could use bads, avar, and gistron. They could even use wood. Desanya, as the Brisa says, ein lov zav. If there is no gold, maybe actual kesef. So you use silver. There's some great tuzzes you're gonna miss. All right, the Michelle nechoshes. Maybe actual kesef. You can use silver. Shal nechoshes. You can use nechoshes, which may be copper, maybe bronze. Shel barzel, you can use iron. Vishel bedil, you can even use tin. Vishel ofaris, and you can use lead. We called lead avar before, it's the same term. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, machshir af bishel eitz. And here you go, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda says, you can even use wood. That's my raya. Vitanya idach, and I have a further brisa like this.
wood.
Supporting this idea that you can use wood. Yeah, using wood for a menorah, by the way, not advisable past kindergarten. But he says, Lo yasa odam bayis tavnis heichol ach sadra keneged ulam. This is a very important halacha. You're not allowed to make a house in the shape of the heichol, an ach sadra of an open pavilion keneged ulam, like the ulam. Tosfos notes that the ulam was actually closed on all sides. The ach sadra is open on one side. So it wouldn't be like the ulam, but he says maybe because the entrance to the ulam is so tall and so broad and it didn't have any doors on it, therefore it looked like an ach sadra. That may be the answer. But you're not allowed to make a model of the ulam. Chatzer, you can't make a yard keneged azara modeled on the azara with those dimensions. Rashi seems to think the only problem is if it has the same dimensions. The shulchan keneged shulchan, menorah keneged menorah. You can't make these things. Aval osu shachamisha v'shalshisha v'shalshmona. You can make a menorah with 5 branches, 6 branches, 8 branches. V'shalshiva lo yasa, just not 7. V'afilu misharim. Even if you use other metals, because you could use other metals for the menorah. And then along comes Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. This is why this price is here. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Af Shel Eitz Lo Yasa. You can't even make it out of wood. Kederach Shalzu Malchei Beis Chashmonoi, as the Chashmonoim made it. So the Chashmonoim were using wood. That's a raya that you can use wood. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says wood is okay. Amru Lo, to which the reply came, Lav Davka. And they said to Misham Raya, you're going to bring proof from there. The Chashmonaim didn't use wood. Shfudim shel barzel hayu. They used, actually, shfudim, spits of iron. Tosfos says that they were described as spits because they didn't have all the ornaments. The Gviyim, Kaftarim, Uprachim is just a straight spit. The Vechibum bibats. And they covered them not with, it wasn't wood, they covered them with tin. There's no wood involved at all. No trees were harmed in the making of this menorah. The Heshiru asam shel kesef. They got wealthier, they made it out of silver. Chazu v'eshu asam shel zav. They got wealthier, they made it out of gold. There was no wood involved. Don't bring me a raya from the Chashmonaim.
The Gilas HaMedrachas says they use their spears. That was the initial
spear. Yeah, that's right. Which fits very well with the Shvudim.
Yeah.
Right, good point. Okay. So that concludes this part of the conversation. I believe we do end up saying that the wood is kosher despite the rejection of Malchei Beis Chashmonai at the end. But the wood would be kosher according to this according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, following within the view of Rabbi Yosef. We now get the structure of the menorah. It's very funny if you look at the Marashon, his Chedush Agados on the structure of the menorah. He says the whole thing is explained by Rashi al Matara. That's it. He checks out. He says, look at Rashi al Matara. If you want to understand this,
I saw the Rambam yesterday.
Yeah. So Amar Shmuel Mishmei Desav, I brought you a table here to try to help build this. Just recognize that the table goes bottom to top of the menorah, and the description we're going to have here is going from top to bottom of the menorah. So Amar Shmuel Mishmei Desav. Shmuel says in the name of some Zaken. Hahu Sava, as the Tosfos says, is Eliyahu Anavi. But I don't think that's a reference here. Here is just Sava. Gova Shel Menorah Shmona Azar Tvachim. The menorah was 8. It was 18 tefach high. Tosfos says that some quote Rabbeinu Tam as saying this has to do with part of the shulchan, the part of the shulchan that holds lechem upon him. But he says it's a misquote. Rabbeinu Tam never said it because it isn't 18 tefach on the shulchan. He says the numbers are wrong. The numbers don't work out. But Shmona Aser Tefachim, 18 tefach. Haraglayim v'aperach. So starting from the bottom, the base is not a base. He has legs for the menorah. That's a major machlokas. Did the menorah have legs, or did it have a solid base? This sure sounds like it has legs. He says you have raglayim, and you also have a perach, and that's 3 tefach high. I put in numbers here because we're going to count how many gviim, kaftarim, and prachim there are. So this is, if you're counting from the top, it's perach number 3.
But a perach is like a semicircle.
Well, that's what we're going to find out in the Gemara. Hang on. The utfachayim chalak, then 2 tefach of height that's just smooth. The tefach, and then a tefach shebo gviya kaftor v'aperach. Okay, you have a gevir, you have a kaftor, and you have a perach. We'll see what all these are. Utfachayim chalak, then 2 tefach that's blank. V'tefach kaftor u'shnei kanim yotzim imenu echad elech v'nim shachan v'olin keneged gova shal menorah. You have 2 branches that spread out from either side at this next tefach, and they go up the height of the menorah. So his point is that all the branches will terminate at the same height. That's his key point. V'tefach halak, then a blank tefach, then v'tefach kaptor u'shnei kanim yotzi imenu echad elach v'echad elach nimshachin v'olim k'neged gov ha'shel mindaro, being paid by the word in this brisa. You have a kaptor and two branches, then v'tefach halak, another blank tefach, then v'tefach kaptor u'shnei kanim yotzi imenu echad elach v'echad elach nimshachin v'olim k'neged gov ha'shel mindaro, another kaptor with the two branches coming out the sides, u'tfachayim halak, then two blank tefach, and then nishtayrusham gimel tefach, and at the top you have three tefach, shebahen gimel gevian, where there are three gevian, gevia 1, gevia 2, gevia 3, v'kaftor v'ferach, as well as a kaftor and a perach. Tosva says, I don't understand why it is that at the other spots you only have one gevia, and here you have three gevium. He says, I don't know what your basis is for doing that, but that's the way it is. So the Braisa then asks, Ugevian lemayin domin, what do the gevian look like? Kimin kosos alexandriyim, which Rashi says means the cups they make in Alexandria in Egypt, and they were aruchen vitsarin. They were narrow and extended. It's like a champagne flute or something. Is what these gevium look like. Kaftorim lemayin domin, what do the kaftorim look like? So we have here kemin tapuche hakartiyim, others have habratiyim. Rashi says that's a certain location. In the margin they tell you from the aruch that they're wider than they are thick. So they also have kind of an oblong shape. You have to picture the 3D. Prachim, the flowers, he says, Lamayin Domen, what are those like? Kmin, Pirche Ha'amudim, like the flowers that you see on pillars, the ornamental flowers. They're familiar to the Gemara. I don't know if this is, we learned in school about the Ionic and Corinthian and all that, different styles in Greek architecture. I don't know if that's what he's referring to. V'nimtzu Gevi'in Esrim Ushnayim, he says, you end up with 22 Gevi'im. Now, I counted up, and we don't have 22 Gevi'im, but if you look at what I wrote on the bottom, this is the key. Each Kana has three Gevi'im, one Kaftor, and one Perach. So therefore, we have on the body of the menorah four Gevi'im, and then you have 18 more from the branches. So that's 22 Gevi'im. Kaftorim Achadasar, because you have five on the body of the menorah and then another one on each branch. And Prachim Tisha, and nine Prachim, three on the body of the menorah and then six on the branches. Gevi'im Akvin Zedzeh, you need all the Gevi'im. Kaftorim Akvin Zedzeh, you need all the Kaftorim. Prachim Akvin Zedzeh, and the flowers all are Ma'akiv each other as well. Tosfos back on Amud Aleph asked why we didn't mention that in the Mishnah when we talked about the other things that are Ma'akiv, but his answer is maybe because if you do non-gold, old, then you don't need all these. So maybe that's why I didn't get it into our Mishnah. Okay. So we require all of them. End of quote. Gevi'im kaftarim u'prachim ha'akvin zeh zeh. Not only do we say that each gevi'ah is necessary for the gevi'im, but each gevi'ah is necessary for the whole. So bishlam gevi'im esrim u'shnayim, the Gemara says, I understand gevi'ah, you have to have 22. Why? Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says, u'bamenorah arba'a gevi'im, because it says on the menorah you have four gevi'im, u'chsiv, but it also says, shlosha gevi'im mishukadim, b'kanah ha'chad kaftor ha'ferach, u'shlosha gevi'im mishukadim, b'kanah ha'chad kaftor ha'ferach, u'shlosha gevi'im, dot. It tells you that you're going to have gevi'im on the kanim as well, three on each kanah, so that means 18, plus the four on the menorah. Arba'a dita, four on its own, and then tapachavtes, v'tamnei sari dekanim, the 18 that are on the branches, ha'esim v'tarte, that's 22 gevi'im, fine. Kaftorin nami achadasar, the kaftorim you get 11, how? Kaftorin treidida, you have two kaftorin that are its own. Now really we said that there are four. But he means from the pasuk of kaftoreha ufrachea. So you have that. And then v'shisha dekanim, and six on the branches, because each branch has one. V'kaftor. He's getting it from the psukim hachadsari. So I have an 11. In other words, the psukim have 11 mentions of kaftor. Therefore, you have 11 kaftorim. That's how I'm supposed to do it. He's not counting based on our diagram of the menorah. He's counting based on the psukim. So it's kaftoreha. It's kaftor for each kana, and it's kaftor, hachad, so that's 11. Ela prachim tisha menalan, how do I know to have 9 of the prachim? So he says, prachim, the word pracheha is treidida, that's 2. Then, v'shisha dekanim, 6 on the kanim, that's tamanya habu, that's only 8. So Amr of Shalman, or Salman perhaps, ksiv ad yurecha ad pircha mikshahi. Ad yurecha ad pircha, it's miksha, the word pircha there teaches me an additional parach, and that's how I know you're supposed to have 9. So therefore, we see our diagram, we see the words in the psukim, we end up with the dimensions and the ornamentation for the menorah.